The following message was recorded at New Beginnings Church in Slidell, Louisiana. Please feel free to duplicate and share this message as you feel led. And you are invited to visit us at New Beginnings Church at 330 Robert Boulevard, Slidell, Louisiana, 70458. Our Sunday services start at 10 a.m. and our Wednesday evening services at 7 p.m. If you have any questions, call us at 985-781-4663. And may God richly bless you as you listen to this message.
All right, hallelujah. Well, we are going to continue our series, which we began last week in light of Independence Day, and that is the Black-Robed Regiment. And our text that we're using for this series is from the book of Luke. By the way, just in case a little bit of information, this statue is a picture of a statue that is in Statuary Hall in the United States Capitol. And it is by a man by the name of John or Peter. His name is John Peter Muhlenberg. And I've seen him use both of those names, so I'm not sure which is one. And what's interesting, you see here that he has on a colonial officer's uniform, and he's taking off his black preacher's robe, which they wore. And he preached a great sermon about there's a time for prayer and there's a time for war, and that he felt that the cause of liberty was so high that they should go into battle if they were able. And he took off his robe and displayed his uniform. He 300 men in his church, which they said was the majority of men in his church, volunteered, went in formed a unit, and they went and they fought the entire war. He was a highly decorated man, and he was promoted. And at the end of the war, he went back to preaching again. So he was quite a patriot, all right? So that's why I selected that picture, and I wanted to tell you that last week, and I didn't do it. All right, so the scripture, Luke chapter 3, verse 18 through 20, this is talking about John the Baptizer, all right? And it said, and with many other words, John exhorted the people and preached the good news to them. But when John rebuked Herod the Tetrarch because of Herodias, his brother's wife, and all the other evil things he had done, Herod added this to them all. He locked John up in prison. I've got a video that I want you to watch right now. Hallelujah. The Black-Robed Regiment returns. Amen. And when I bought this, I had no idea that I would use it in this context, but I believe it's probably the greatest context that I've ever had the privilege of wearing this black robe. As I told you last week, every man, every woman, everyone who's ever stood up to proclaim and teach the Word of God has in America, has a balancing that they have to do between preaching the Word and patriotism to this land. And that scripture that we read earlier from the book of Luke, I believe, sets the tempo and the pattern. It said that John, with many words, preached the good news. So that's the first responsibility of the pulpit, is to preach the good news of Jesus Christ. If I don't preach Jesus, and if Christ is not preached, America ceased to exist, as you know it today. So, the preaching of the good news. But he also set the pattern of rebuking the king. The king was doing something wrong, and he spoke up against it. Sadly, today in America, that privilege is being ebbed away through financial constraints, ungodly, unconstitutional constraints put upon the pulpits of America because of financial gain, so that you could donate your money and get a tax deduction on your income tax. And if I preach some of the stuff that I preach, that would violate the 501c3 nonprofit tax corporation law, and I could be censured, and you could lose your tax deduction. Beloved, if that's a problem, you may not have a tax deduction one day, all right? And then for other reasons beyond that. But he spoke up against immorality. He talked about what the king was doing with his brother's wife, and he boldly spoke up against it. We know that it says not only that, he spoke against all other evil that was being done. So it was a broad brush that was used, and John set that stage for me today to be able to preach the things that I preach. Of course, he did suffer the consequences of that, said that he was locked up in prison, and as you well know, he lost his life because of it. But he has been and will always be an icon to be recognized with, as John the Baptizer gave his very life for what he believed and what he preached. So last week we spoke about what are the duties of government, and I would highly recommend that you look at that, the duties of government for life. The Declaration of Independence says that we are endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights. In other words, those are rights that cannot be taken away, and among those are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Last week we spoke about life. Today we'll take up the cause again, and we will speak about why God and endowed you with liberty. And I want to show this scripture, those endowed with liberty. Again, Luke 4:18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me, this is Jesus speaking, to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. I have this in parentheses for you because it's the exact same Greek word used here and here. It could have said to preach liberty to the captives and the recovering of sight to the blind and liberty to those that are bruised. The Declaration of Independence states, we therefore, the representatives of the United States of America, in general Congress, assembled, appealing to the Supreme Judge, and I highlighted that for you, the Supreme Judge of the world, for the rectitude, which is a word, another word, a more contemporary word today, is righteousness. In other words, they appeal to the Supreme Judge of the world for the righteousness of our intentions, due in the name. So they're saying they called on God to judge what they were doing. This baloney that we were born out of rebellion is not true. We were born out of truth as a nation, okay? We do in the name and by the authority of the good people of these colonies solemnly publish and declare that these United Colonies are and of right ought to be free and independent states. That is a bold, bold statement made, not only about what Jesus did, but what the founding fathers did when they penned and signed this document. Our founding fathers knew that without life, there can be no liberty. And without liberty, there can be no pursuit of happiness. Jesus saw oppression and declared liberty to those. He came to set the captives free. He said, I've come that you might be free and that you might be free indeed. So the gospel of Jesus Christ is to set people free. And you know, as there are many sermons I've preached here, that religion has put people in chains and put things upon people that the gospel never put on them. And they put us under the law. They put people under the law in churches. We are not under the law. We've been set free from the law by the action of Jesus Christ. So we are under the grace and the goodness of God. And in a couple of weeks, Lord willing, I'll start this sermon series that I've been working on for some time about the book of Romans, and we'll talk about that in some great detail. Now, the Declaration of Independence detailed the abuses of England and asked God to judge the validity of their actions. They appealed to the Supreme Judge. They recognized that God was the only one who could rightly judge them in what they were doing. Not necessarily the opinion of the loyalists to England, nor to the king, nor to the rules and regulations that the king had put out, but that they appealed to God to look at what they were doing. They believed their deeds were righteous. And you know why they believed their deeds were righteous? Because the pulpits of the 1700s declared what they were about to do is righteous. This, in fact, there's a book right here that I borrowed from the from Roe. It's about Romans chapter 13. I'd encourage you to find this book. It's written by Timothy Baldwin and Chuck Baldwin, and it shows what we are to do as not only here in America, but around the world for all times in dealing with governments and what laws you can obey and must obey and which ones you don't have to obey. You do not have to obey any law, according to the scriptures, that is contrary to the will of God and the edicts of the scriptures, all right? And that's what was taught in the pulpits to the people. And so that when the time came, now this was over a long period of time, so when the time came in 1776 to actually make that break, they didn't do it because they were rebellious people. They did it because they were following the edicts of the scripture, all right? So and that has been mistaught in our schools, and so many people believe that. And I often had problems until I discovered this truth about us being born out of rebellion. We were not, as a nation, born out of rebellion. We were born out of the truth of the Word of God. And you need to know that. That's why this whole idea of defaming the founding fathers and some of the horrible things that have been said about them that are just not true. I mentioned to you last week that they've been called a bunch of deists. A deist is somebody who believes in some supreme being but is not steeped in Christianity. That is not true. 21 of the 56 signers of the Declaration of Independence had degrees in divinity. And many of the others, when you read their writings, you can see not only their lives, but the things that they wrote show their Christianity. All right? So, the freedom is not the ability to do whatever you want to do. You know, sometimes we have that mentality. You know, I'm free and I can do whatever I want to do. You're free to try to do whatever you want to do. And if you do something that breaks the law in this country, you're going to jail. You know, and rightly so. So you're not free to do everything you want to do. What you have is the liberty to follow righteous laws. And to be free to be able to do that. Thank God our founding fathers wrote things like freedom of speech, that we could speak freely without any fear. But that freedom to speak does not give you freedom to say whatever you want to say. If you go to a local movie theater or in a church or anywhere and you start crying fire, that is against the law. You will cause people to panic and to run. You cannot do that. You have the liberty to speak truth. And you have the liberty to say things like we say here in this church without any fear. It's the freedom of religion and the freedom of speech are really intertwined together in the First Amendment to the Constitution through the Bill of Rights. So, government does not have the freedom to do whatever it wants. Now, the government thinks it can, but it really can't. For example, the Supreme Court made decisions about abortion and about gay rights that they do not have the right to do. Now, they've done it. We as a nation will pay the consequences for that. That's unjust laws that are contrary to the Word of God. And I'm going to talk some more about that in just a little bit. People have the liberty to correct government when it's wrong. in the Declaration of Independence. It says it is the right of the people to alter the government, to change the laws. Also have the right to abolish the laws or abolish the government. And it said quite, you just heard, read the Declaration of Independence, and to institute a new government. Now, I'm not in favor of overthrowing the government. I'm in favor of working within the confines of the government that our founding fathers set out. We don't need a new government. We just need to follow what our government laid out for us originally. And we've gotten so very far away from that. It's just like the scriptures. People get away from the scriptures. And they live and believe things that are just not true. And we go back to the book. That's the only thing. The only thing I have to teach you is what's in this, the confines of this page. And this is what we follow. This is what we believe. This is what is the guiding light for all of our lives. And when we disobey this book, we end up in trouble every time. So we follow the word and we follow the teachings of God. And as a nation, we should follow the written words and edicts of our founding fathers. If we'll do that, we'll be just fine. What we need to do is make sure that some of the elected officials figure that out. And the way they figure it out is we tell them. You know how many people don't know? I told you this a couple of weeks ago when we had our day of prayer. Thank God for our mayor, Freddie Drennan. When he agreed to have a day of prayer at the city auditorium, and we had several hundred people there, and we read, the mayors of the surrounding cities read the prayers of the founding fathers. I cannot tell you how many people came up to me and said they had no idea that our founding fathers prayed that way. You know why? Because it's been stripped out of the schools. It's been taken away. Our children are not learning that. You did not learn that. You were not taught that. That truth has been covered up in the ash heap of government and political ways of doing things. And it's time that we uncover it. It's time that we speak the truth. It's time that we find out that make sure our children and our grandchildren know the truth. Because in the public school system, they will not get the truth about these items. You don't believe that? Just go read the textbooks that they have. Go see what they're learning. And you'll find it's a disgrace to our nation what they're taught about this nation of ours. Okay? Now, the hallmark of liberty in the U.S. is being eroded away. Things like we can't practice our Christian faith because of the separation of church and state. That is non-existent in any writing of our founding fathers, save one letter written by Jefferson that he wrote to assure the Anabaptists, it was a sect of Baptists, that the government would not instill a church government. They were fearful of that. That's one of the reasons they first came to this nation, because they didn't want to live under the oppression of church, government-sponsored religion. And he wrote that, and he used that phrase, separation of church and state. Do you know when that separation of church and state became known to the American people? Not until 1954, 56, somewhere around there, that one of the Supreme Court justices quoted that in a completely out of context, and it has become the law of the land. Jefferson would get his musket and chase those guys down for taking what he said out of context. And that's exactly what happened. And I wrote a letter to the editor of the newspaper last year, and I quoted that truth, and some guy wrote back in another letter to the editor and said that I was so completely wrong. The problem is, what he said was based on what somebody else told him. What I said was based on the facts. Nobody told me that. I went and looked it up for myself. I had heard it, and I went and discovered through the original documents so that I would know and I could speak with assurance of that very thing. So it may come to the day, because of just recent passages by the black-robed Supreme Court of the United States, who is just dead wrong on some issues, we may be say to pastors like me, that if a homosexual couple comes to me, that I will have to perform a wedding. Just watch. Just watch that, okay? Just watch if that doesn't show up. Because someone will go and say, come to a pastor like me, and because I refuse to do that, they will say that their constitutional rights are being violated, and they will file suit against me, against the church, and it'll go all the way through the court systems, okay? And then we'll see how the nine judges judge on that thing. The other thing is that if I mention that the Bible teaches that homosexuality is an abomination to God, that I could be arrested for hate speech. Say, well, that could never happen. Just go right across the border, the county, because it happens right now. All right? Now, when I say all these things, I am not opposed to homosexual people. I am opposed to militant homosexuality that tries to destroy the values that parents are trying to instill in their children, and to demean and to tear down the God-ordained sanctity of marriage between one man and one woman for a lifetime, as is taught in the scriptures. All right? So that's what's happening. And you need to be aware of that, beloved. You need to be taking up the cause and speaking to everyone you know that that is wrong. And to stop being so fearful of what people might think. We care about every precious soul. Any homosexual wants to come to this church is more than welcome in the doors of this church. I won't change the way I preach. And they may be uncomfortable, but they are welcome. And they are welcome because God cares about them. God so loved the world, which includes the adulterer, the homosexual, the thief, the murderer, you know, go down the whole list, that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. When the Holy Spirit comes into a person's life, they will change their behavior. The adulterer will repent and change their behavior. The homosexual will repent and change their behavior. The murderer will repent and change their behavior. I told you 2 weeks ago about the guy that I know that it's in the Angola Penitentiary who murdered someone at the age of 17 and today is preaching the gospel and teaching other people about Jesus Christ in the penitentiary. People change. The Holy Spirit changes you. And if you're involved in sin and you're not changing, then you have to wonder whether or not the Holy Spirit is in you. You need to question that. Have you truly believed, or have you adopted a religious method of living? There's a big difference between a church and religion and Jesus Christ. Pat tells me she used to share her testimony with a group called the Christian Women's Club, and part of her testimony was that she believed in Jesus Christ like she believed in Abraham Lincoln. She just believed that he existed, but she had not put a heart and our faith and our trust in him. And when she did, she was born again. Old things passed away and all things became new. And she became a different person in Christ Jesus. So you should be a different person in Christ Jesus. All right? Y'all got that? All right, good. Now, I believe Bobby Morales sent me an email by Andrew Womack. Andrew Womack is a very fine preacher out of Colorado. And he had something in there that I want to read to you. It says, during the Revolutionary War, times got very tough and people became discouraged. Samuel Adams of Massachusetts had it right when he encouraged the faithful. The Continental Congress was down to 28 men and the goal of independence was very much in doubt. When Adams was part of this exchange, quote, the chance is desperate. Indeed, it is very desperate, said Mr. Adams. If this be our language, in other words, if we say this, if we wear long faces, others will do so too. If we despair, let us not expect that others will hope or that they will persevere in a contest from which their leaders shrink. But let not such feelings, let not such language be ours. And I say the same thing needs to take place today. We are not discouraged and we are not defeated. We still are victorious Christians in Christ, but we have a job to do. And we need to do our job joyfully. We need to do our job faithfully. And we need to proclaim Christ, and we need to proclaim the truth about our governmental system wherever we go. Amen?
Amen.
All right. So let's look at, that was just the introduction, folks. Wow. All right. Let's look at why Jesus and our founding fathers want us to be free. All right? You're endowed with liberty so you can practice your liberty. Galatians 5:13. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. 1 Peter 2:16 says, live as free people. Do not use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Live as God's slaves. And I'll talk about that in just a moment. But you see, we're free, but we're not free to do whatever we want to do. See that? Okay? Don't use your freedom to indulge the desires of the flesh. The Declaration of Independence said this, and for the support of this declaration, with a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortune, and our sacred honor. Boy, what powerful words that we just read from the scriptures and from the Declaration of Independence. The founding fathers knew that unless Americans lived virtuous lives, liberty would be fleeting. I'm going to read that to you again. The founding fathers knew that unless Americans lived virtuous lives, liberty would be fleeting. The holders of liberty are honor bound to live honorable lives. You need to be a good law-abiding citizen. If the speed limit is 50, drive 50. Huh? If the law says don't do this, don't do it. If it's honorable laws, do it. If the IRS says pay your taxes, pay them. You may not like it. You may not like what they're doing with it, but pay your taxes anyway. Jesus didn't like what the Roman government was doing with its taxes, but he paid his taxes. I like the way he did it, by the way. I wish I could do that. Go fishing, catch a fish with a gold coin. That'd be great. I'd be glad to send it to him. It came out of a fish. I reluctantly send in my tax return, but I send it in as a law-abiding citizen, something I should do. And if I don't do that, I suffer the consequences of that, all right? So, this Christ, when he set us free, so that we are no longer under the penalty of sin, and all that goes along with that, we were set free to live honorable lives. And that freedom enables us to have victory over the flesh. You can have victory over the desires of your heart. What was that guy, that comedian many years ago? He coined the phrase, the devil made me do it. What was his name? Flip Wilson. Flip, how could I forget that name? Flip Wilson, you know, he said that a long time. Well, the devil made me do it. The devil made me do it. Beloved, the devil can't make you do anything. What you do because you want to. Oh, no, well, it's, you know, I just can't. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. Nobody forces you to do something. You just do it. But you, just like Flip Wilson, you just use an excuse. Well, the devil made me do it, you know. And then, we just need to come to that realization. It'll do wonders for your life to realize that. But in Christ, he gives us the victory. He gives us the strength so that we can overcome temptation. Either the Bible's true or we ought to all go fishing, you know. It says, there's no temptation taking you, but such is common to man. But with that temptation, God has provided a way of escape. Now, you know what happens? The devil comes around and puts a temptation in front of you. Instead of looking for the escape route, we look to the temptation. And what you ought to do in those situations, and the Holy Spirit inside of you will tweak you so that you realize what's going on, you ought to be looking for the escape route. It's there. And you can be set free from it. You can be set free from it. I just talked to a man not too long ago who told me that he was hooked on pornography. He was hooked on it all of his life. He couldn't get away from it. He found that scripture that I just quoted for you. And he began to pray and began to pray and he began to fight the battle and fight the battle and fight the battle. And he told me that the time that he told me, and I'm assuming this is still true, I have no reason to believe otherwise, that he had been free from pornography for a year. He said that was unheard of for him. He was set free. How did he get set free? By willpower? No, your willpower can't do it. How many times you turned into a new leaf for New Year's? That lasts what? 2 hours? 3 hours? You know? It doesn't last any time at all. But when God gets involved, you get permanent liberty from these things. Beloved, God doesn't want us trapped in old fleshly behaviors. He wants us to be free from those things. And he provides a way. All we have to do is make up our will that we want to do it. Not your mind, your will. The only mind you have that's any good, sorry to say, is the mind that's renewed by the washing of the water of the Word of God. Now, some of you have some brain cells that hadn't been washed. You know? You need to get more in the Word. Get some more of that water, that Holy Ghost water splashing through your brain to help you overcome these things. We all have issues that we deal with, but we need to come to Christ knowing He can set us free. And He will. That's His job. You're forgiven. It's not about forgiveness. It's about the liberty that you have to live the kind of life that God wants you to live right here on the earth while you're still in this earth. Freedom carries the illusion that you have complete freedom over your actions with no fear of consequences. Paul, the great apostle, took care of that. And I know somewhere in the heavenly realms there's a video that plays that you could see. I haven't seen the video except in my mind. When Paul heard people say that they could do whatever they want to do, watch, he said, God forbid. I know he slapped his head. I just know he did. I know he said, God forbid, that's recorded. It doesn't say he slapped his head, but I know he did. That's what I would have done. That's what I do. When people tell me, I say, God forbid that you would even think that way. No, knock some of them old brain cells loose. You know, they'll flush out through your ears or something. You know, they get rid of them so that you'll be able to think with the mind of Christ. Freedom in Christ makes you a slave to Christ. Now, you know what slaves do? Everything their master tells them to do. We just saw a black man who was said that the Constitution didn't think of him, you know, when it was written, and I mean, Declaration of Independence, but didn't think of him. And I thought he gave a beautiful explanation of that, the struggle from what we should be to what we are and trying to get those things reconciled. But a slave is bound. The slaves in this nation were unjustly bound. And they did what they were told to do. Slaves lived because their owners gave them life. A slave owner could actually kill a slave with no fear of any consequences. That's how bad it was. But why would God say that you are a slave to Christ? Because those folks in that day who lived with slavery understood that. We are a slave to Christ. In fact, it says we've been bought with a price. We belong to Him. And we have liberty because He sets us free. And you can be free in the liberty of Christ, whether you're living in chains in a jail, whether you're bound in slavery in some part of the world, you can be free through the liberty that Christ gives you. But we are slaves to Him, and we ought to listen to what God tells us to do, and then we ought to do it. Amen. All right, I just want to make sure y'all still away. All right. American liberty exists because God endowed man, Americans, with liberty, not with freedom. We are endowed with liberty, not with freedom, by the Declaration of Independence. There are still people who were not free. They were slaves who were not free. There were people who were bound in sin. There was a lot of things going on. But what happened is the Continental Army, through their shed blood and their valiant hearts, provided freedom for us that we could live under God's directions. That's what they had in mind. Say, well, how do you know that? Because I read what they wrote. That's exactly what they had in mind. That we might have the liberty. Not freedom, liberty. Liberty to do what is right. You don't remember the guy by the name of Greenspan? Does that name ring a bell? Okay, Greenspan was head of the Fed. And he, you know, when Greenspan spoke, everybody in the world listened. Because the things that he did with the Fed affected the whole world. After the crash of 2008, when it was uncovered, all the crazy stuff that was being done, selling these junk bonds and, you know, all that foolishness, and the banks began to fall and everything was going down, Greenspan had resigned. He resigned before that happened, okay? He had resigned, and they brought him back before Congress, and he testified. You know what he said? He said, what happened was my fault. He said, it was my fault because I put things in place that allowed the banking institutions and others do things that I never believed that righteous men would ever do. See, he gave them freedom, and they used freedom for evil. In this nation, many of you sitting in this room, lost the finances and other things because all that happened in 2008. There's people in this country who had worked all their life, saved their money so that they could retire, and they can't retire. They're working because they lost it all. Men who used freedom the wrong way. Freedom has at its very essence that it's survival through virtue, that people will do things virtuously. Our nation works the way it works because we have people who follow God's principles and live virtuous lives, and then you can have freedom. But people abuse that freedom, and it causes chaos. For instance, those Muslims, radical Muslims who came to this country, got on board those planes, were free to get on those planes on 9/11. They were free at that time to carry box cutters, razor blade knives with them. They abused freedom by doing heinous acts that drove this nation into a war that we're still in today, all these many years later. And those people died needlessly in the Twin Towers, at the Pentagon, and in the fields of Pennsylvania. Not to mention the countless numbers who are maimed and wounded and dead today who went into battle to do something about it. They abused freedom. They did not understand liberty. That's why it's so difficult to protect this nation, because we do have freedom where unrighteous people can do unrighteous deeds, because they abuse liberty. Just like the guys who put on backpacks and went down to the Boston Marathon and blew those folks up. They abuse the freedom that we were given. Our founding fathers never intended us to have that kind of freedom. Neither did our God in heaven intend for us to have that kind of freedom. We have the freedom to act virtuously. The Declaration of Independence says that we have a dependence on God's protection. It says, with a firm reliance on the protection of our divine providence, on divine providence. When America quits recognizing God, it removes his freedom and liberty ceases. I say that again. When America quits recognizing God, it removes God's freedom from us, and liberty ceases. I don't know, and neither do you, and this is a harsh reality, how long this nation can continue down the road that it's going down when it has abandoned the virtue instilled by God in this nation and keep doing some of the horrible things we're doing. There are things that a nation will be judged for. I'm not talking about an individual. I'm talking about a nation. The scriptures talk about judgment of nations. You know, do you know how many nations believe that they could do whatever they want to do and get away with it? And how many of them are still around? You know, who would have believed the Roman Empire could have ever fallen? As big and as powerful as they were, they had virtually the whole known world, from sea to shining sea. I mean, they had it all. They had power and authority and wealth and all those things. They abused that. And they abused it that they became involved with such depravity that the very essence of their society fell. When the essence of their society fell, their armies were weakened. When their armies were weakened, the rest, they say, is history. It can happen here. It can happen here. And we need to be aware of that. And we need to be willing to do something about it. I'm going to speak to you about that in some more detail in just a few minutes. The founding fathers set standards for American life. They gave their word. They gave a vow. They gave their pledge to protect each other. That's what they did. That we pledged to each other. They made a solemn pact to watch over one another. Boy, has that disappeared in America or what? I mean, we're so fractured and schismed in so many different directions. Instead of caring for one another, they gave their pledge. They said that their wealth wouldn't separate them from their fellow Americans. Said, we pledge our wealth. You know, it doesn't matter. They'd rather be broke and be free, living in liberty, and their countrymen living the same way. Let me tell you what, friends. Those guys, by the vast majority of those who signed the Declaration of Independence and signed the Constitution of the United States, didn't need to do it. They could have lived fat cat happy lives. They had the wealth. They had the land. Most of them were very wealthy. And yet they put it all on the line for this thing called liberty. And where is that mentality going to? We're afraid we're going to lose our possessions. It may cost us something in order to be free, a continuing freedom and liberty that our founding fathers paid a price for us to have. Many of them lost all their money. Their families died in abject poverty, but they died free people because of what they did. And you and I sit here in the shadow of their sacrifices so that we could be a free people here in America today. That we can enjoy this liberty that we have. Their honor was sacred and they would not be dishonored. What they said, they did. Boy, that's getting to be a fleeting thing. You know, used to say a man's word was his bond. You know, now you try to do anything today, you got a legal contract 26 inches tall to do anything. Got to have every little wherefore and heretofore and I used to four and 24 and every other four you can think of in there in the documents in order to force people to do things. I went into a contract with a businessman, sold part of my business to him. I kid you not, the document was at least an inch and a half thick. That's what the document was. And I thought it was craziness when my lawyer wrote it up. But when the guy that I was in business with had no sacred honor, and he defrauded me and defrauded the people we were doing business with, and I ended up with $350,000 worth of debt, and I went to my lawyer and I said, I got to get out of this thing. And he went through the papers, and on page 28 or 26 or somewhere, it says right here, he can't do these things. And he gave me a right to make that contract null and void, and I got out of that deal. I still had the debt, which I paid, by the way, by God's divine hand and mercy allowed me to get out of that. But it shouldn't have been that way. A handshake should have been enough. All right, moving on. You're endowed with liberty so you can multiply your liberty. And this is a scripture we read earlier. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach the liberty to the captives and the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. Liberty cannot be contained in an individual or in a nation. It must be multiplied so that others can be free, no matter the cost. They had to see and fight and make sure that everyone was free here in this country. Jesus said that he gave liberty to captives and the oppressed. He did what he did because he was anointed by God to do it. God anointed. He was anointed by God to do what he did. Jesus knew that his mission was dangerous and that it was costly. And he did it anyway. He did it anyway. Why? Because he wanted you to be free. He wanted to multiply his liberty and his freedom in you. He wanted you to be free. He wanted you to be free from the penalties of sin and the worry of it, that you would die and never see God, that you would die and live in a sinner's hell for all eternity. That was not what God wanted for you, and he was willing to go to that dangerous place called planet Earth, and he was willing to give his life so that you could be set free from it. I love to sing the songs that talk about our freedom and our liberty in Christ. I mean, those are awesome things for us to sing about, but we always need to be mindful that we have these liberties and our sins are washed away and we are cleansed. We are white as snow, as Isaiah said, because of what Christ did. He did what we couldn't do ourselves. We were unable to do it, but he did it for us. Captives, oppressed, bruised. You know what sin does? It beats you into the ground. It steps on you, and it hurts you, and it robs you of what God wants you to have. Sometimes people think that God's just being mean. You know, when it comes to like divorce, say, God hates divorce. I say, well, God's just being mean. If he see who I was married to, he'd be glad for me to get a divorce. No, you know why God hates divorce? I'm going to tell you why. Because of what it does to the people who get divorced. And those of you who have been divorced know what I'm talking about. You know, you suffer the pain for it. Suffer the penalty for it. Suffer the penalty for those kinds of things. Jesus came to set us free from that so that we could be liberated from that sin and that pain and we could live virtuous lives. Do you know what? If everybody lived a virtuous life, what a wonderful place this would be. You wouldn't have to worry about getting concealed carry permits. You wouldn't have to worry about having a gun under your bed. You wouldn't have to worry about having alarm systems. You could leave your doors unlocked. How many of you remember when you used to be able to do that? Huh? How cool was that? Just leave the doors unlocked. You could leave the keys in your car. You know? Nobody would ever steal it. Not anymore. You better lock everything up. That's not what God wants. He wants us to live free. Jesus knew what he was doing was dangerous. And in order to be free, in order to be able to exercise liberty, you must really be free. And the only way you can be free is when Christ liberates you and sets you free. Liberty carries the burden of stewardship, that we would share that. You know, one of the things I appreciated about former President George W. Bush, when he had a belief that freedom and the democracy that we have should be shared with the world. Now, he was criticized for that, for saying that. But I believe the man was speaking his heart, that he wanted everyone to enjoy the freedoms that we have here in America. He wanted to see people set free. If you've ever seen someone living in a horrific, horrible place and want to be set free from it, many years ago, there were two very influential, very well-educated people who came to this country from America, and Pat and I had the privilege of having dinner with them. They knew some other mutual friends. They came to this country. I believe he was a doctor, and I believe she was had a PhD in oceanography. I believe that's what their education was. They were in the higher levels of the Russian society. And we were having dinner, and I was trying to talk, and they spoke English, you know, but it wasn't the greatest. My Russian wasn't the greatest, so, you know, we were mutually having a problem. But I asked them how they liked America. They'd only been here for like a week. You know, they were on a business trip, and they had to go back. And they had a little girl. She was about, what, maybe 4 years old, something like that? Yeah, about 4 years old. And I asked the woman, you know, I said, how do you like America? I mean, what do you think of it? And she just put her head down. It was at the table. And she put her head down, and she didn't respond. And so I waited, and I asked it again. I thought maybe I had asked a question with a word that she didn't understand. So I asked the same question, just worded it differently. And she still had her head down, and she didn't respond. And I looked at her husband. I said, does she not understand me? He said, oh, no, she understands you. Said she's never seen anything like what she's experiencing here in America. And she doesn't want to go back. Said their little girl had all the milk she wanted to drink here in America, which she didn't have back in Russia. See, she saw the fruit of freedom and liberty and what it could be like. I'm sad to tell you that she did go back. She was forced to go back. She had to go back. But we should share this freedom and liberty that we have. Freedom in Christ we need to share, and freedom about America we need to share. The Declaration of Independence believed it was the duty of Americans to liberate their countrymen. A guy by the name of John Francis Mercer, he was one of the signers of the Constitution. You probably never heard of him. He said this: it is a great mistake to suppose that the paper we are to propose will govern the United States. He said it's a great mistake to believe that the papers we're proposing will govern the United States. It is the men whom it will bring into the government and the interest they have in maintaining it that are to govern them. The papers will only mark out the mode and the form. Men or the substance, and must do the business. In other words, it's going to take the right caliber of men and women to govern this great nation. See this book? It's got, over 1,000 pages in it, about 1,200 pages, 66 books. I mean, this is what we got. You know how big the Constitution of the United States is and the Declaration of Independence? You can put it in a pamphlet and put it in your pocket. It's so small. It doesn't cover every item. It sets the principles of what this country should be like. And if we follow those principles, we will have and continue to have a great nation. Not everybody was sparkly clean, go to church on Sunday kind of person back in the day in 1776, but the vast majority of people were. We saw a video, was it last week, about people who lived in the colonies? Oh, no, it was on Wednesday night we showed it, where they went to church like about 14 times a week. You know, they went to church. You know, remember that song, all day, you know, being at church all day on Sunday? They went to church all day. Yeah, I'm a short-winded preacher. Some of you think I'm long because I preach an hour, and every once in a while I get an hour and 10 minutes or something. Those guys could preach for hours and hours and hours, and everybody loved them, sat around for it, and they got food, and they got food, and they got food, spiritual food. And they believed that it was the core of who they are and were. And they believed in God. And they believed in liberty. And they wanted to share that. They wanted to make sure it wasn't enough for the aristocrats and the wealthy to be free in this nation. They wanted everyone to be free. You know, one of the things that makes America great is that the masses are free. That the masses own property. The fact that you can own property makes you wealthy in this nation. That you can accumulate property and pass it on to your children and their children. That's how wealth accumulates. Most places in the world, you can't own property. It's owned by the state. It's owned by someone else. You become a serfdom. You work for someone else. You rent a building. You don't own the building. The fact that you can own it in this country makes you powerful. There was a special on TV a couple of months ago talking about this very issue, why the South America is in such poverty and why North America is in such prosperity, the people themselves. And they said this. This wasn't a religious program. They said the difference was is that people in the North America were allowed to own property. Owning property. Liberty. Freedom to do that. And our founding fathers made sure that you could do that and own property. We must ensure that the next generation has freedom and the ability to exercise their liberty. We must exercise freedom of speech and expose evil and proclaim the truth. It's time. It's time just to say it. When you see something wrong, just to say it. You don't have to be an in-your-face kind of person. You just have to proclaim the truth about it. And when you see evil, expose it, and you need to tell the truth. We've been hiding Christianity under a bushel. We're afraid to say it. Well, we don't want to discuss politics and religion. Look where that's got us. Huh? By being afraid to speak up. You know what? You know why most people are afraid to speak up about religion and politics? I'm going to tell you why. Because they don't know. They just don't know. They don't know. Now, you don't have that excuse. You know more in this church than the vast majority of people know. Not because I'm such a great teacher. It's just that I keep pounding it in your little brains to make sure you understand it. And I go over the same stuff over and over and over again. It's like flashcards. 2 + 2 = 4. 2 + 2 = 4. So that when you walk out of here and you talk to some of your hard-headed friends and relatives and so forth, you can speak the truth with assurance that it's true. You notice that I put in your bulletins, I made sure that I put these quotes that I'm reading in there for you to have. I did that for a purpose. I wanted you to take it home. I want you to keep it. Because one day when you have the opportunity, you say, do you know what John Francis Mercer, the signer of the Declaration of Independence, said about our Constitution? You can read it. It's right there. You'll have it. That's why I did that. I want you to know. I give you those notes, not for my benefit, but for yours, that you would have it. You can file these things away and use them. We take arms against anyone who threatens our freedom. As John Kennedy said, friend or foe. Friend or foe. Anybody try to take our freedom up? We grab the muskets and we do something about it. We have open arms to those who want to be free and who will preserve this freedom. That's what this country's all about. I'm here because my grandfather came here. I didn't have a fight in the colonial war. None of my dogs were over there. They were all down in Sicily. All right? But when they came here, and you've heard me say this before, when I asked my dad, did Grandpa ever just say he wanted to go back to Italy? And he said he didn't leave anything in Italy worthwhile going back for. He found life here, owned property. A man from Italy who couldn't read or write owned property in this country. And he passed that on to his children who did better, and his grandchildren like me who have done better, and my children. And my cousin's children have all done better. We got doctors, lawyers, and I think I got a couple of Indian chiefs. I'm not sure about it. All right. The last thing I want to cover is you can defend your liberty. You're endowed with liberty, so you can defend your liberty. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm, then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. This has two applications. One, I want to make the application that in Christ to do the same thing. Okay? Don't let yourself be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Don't go back. You only be a slave to Christ, not a slave to sin and the world and the old ways. Christ has set you free. The founding fathers said this, in every stage of these oppressions, we have petitioned for redress. In other words, they went to the king and said, you know, We want you to relieve us of some of the burden you put on us in the most humble terms. Our repeated petitions have been answered only by repeated injury. A prince, he's talking about King George III, whose character is thus marked by every act which may defeat a tyrant, may define a tyrant, is unfit to be the ruler of a free people. He said the king is unfit to be a free ruler because of what he's done. America is one generation away from tyranny and slavery. One generation can do it. Look at what's happened to one generation in this country when we took the Bible and prayer out of schools. Just look around, folks. This isn't rocket science. Look what's happened to our... You used to be able to leave your keys in your car and not worry about it. Now you can't even walk down the streets of some of our cities without fear of losing your life. We stand at the dangerous crossroads of history. When freedom fails, the gospel cannot be preached. Did you hear me? When freedom fails, the gospel cannot be preached. When they put chains on this pulpit, the gospel cannot be preached. You know what we'll do? We'll do what they always done in history. We'll be in houses and hiding, preaching the gospel there. But we won't have the privilege we have right now. If freedom fails, and freedom can fail if we don't do something about it and speak up and be bold and follow the admonition and the pattern laid out for us by our founding fathers. But not only for those who are involved in sin, but those who are involved in wrong government. We need to speak up about it, and we need to be involved. When the land is void of the gospel, true freedom ceases. True freedom is freedom in Christ. And when this gospel is shut down in this nation, as it has been in other places, the people won't be set free. You know the great cathedrals of Europe? They're museums today. Y'all just saw one, didn't you? Priscilla and Jim. The great monolith was a church. That's a great museum. The gospel stopped. We cannot lay down our spiritual arms. We must be faithful to the gospel that's been given to us and to make sure that that gospel gets out. Are you guys listening to me, or am I just talking to myself? Are you hearing what I'm saying? I don't want you to walk out of here and just say, oh, well, the preacher just preached too long, he's all fired up, he's got the stupid robe on, you know, and I don't care. You need to pay attention to what I'm saying. We are in danger. The church is in danger. Our nation is in danger. And we're the only hope that's left in Christ to be able to do anything about it. We need to stop being such pacifists and do what needs to be done. We cannot lay down our spiritual arms. The Black Robe Regiment delivered us a free gospel. They did it. The guys before me. They did it to make sure that in this nation, the gospel would be preached. And it is so far. At the end of World War II, the greatest generation delivered us a free world. A free world. The world was set free by the greatest generation who paid such a high price. Here's my question for you, and I'm going to close right after this. What are you doing with what was delivered to you? What are you doing with it? Is the most important thing in your life your job, your money, your bank account? Or is it this nation? Are you willing to sign it all on the dotted line like they did? You know, we pledge to each other our lives, our fortune, and our most sacred honor. Or you just live in life, just bouncing along, a big old rubber ball, blum, blum, blum. One of the colonial preachers by the name of Samuel West said this, our obligation to promote the public good extends as much to opposing every exertion of arbitrary power that is injurious to the state as it does to the submitting to the good and wholesome laws. In other words, we oppose and we submit. We submit to the right things and we oppose the wrong things. No man, therefore, can be a good member of the community. No man, therefore, can be a good member of the community. No man, therefore, can be a good member of the community that is not as zealous to oppose tyranny as he is ready to obey majesties. Not majesty, but the magistrate, the laws, in other words. To oppose and to submit. It's not enough to be you're just a good citizen. We need to be active citizens against what's wrong. I'll tell you one of my pet peeves. It's just one of my pet peeves. And some of you are sucked up in this and you hadn't done anything about it. Why is it that our children who play soccer and baseball and all the other things have to go on Sunday morning to play their games? You know why? Because parents and grandparents bring them. And if you had any backbone where your wishbone is, you would tell the coach in the league, you want to have a ball game, you can have it every Sunday afternoon at 1:30, but I'm not bringing my child here. They say, well, your child won't play. And then you sit down and you tell your children, you are going to sacrifice the cost of playing ball because we will not give up church on Sunday morning so that you can play a game. Amen. Amen. Oh, now you're getting personal, Pastor. I'm just telling you the way it is. You let it happen. Nobody forced you to do that. You let it happen. Can you look in the faces of your spouses and your children and your grandchildren and say, I've pulled my load, I've protected what was entrusted to me? If you can't, do something about it. We must preserve, protect, and defend what's passed on to us. I'm going to challenge you to do three things. One, I challenge you to be vocal. And I know all of you can talk. We have to go through great lengths on Sunday morning to get you to shut up so we can start the services. So I know you know how to talk. Use that God-given vocal cords you got and speak up. If you can't speak up, write up. Write letters. Flood the newspapers with writing. Do it. I challenge you to become active. Be a part of the system. Stop waiting for somebody else to do it. Because the somebody else who's doing it is not the people we need doing it. We got a bunch of heathens. How many politicians do we have to lock up before the Christians will run for office? Think about it. Third thing is, become one of the few who make a difference. You can make a difference. You can make a difference. I've discovered that. Little old me, I discovered that. You can make a difference. All you have to do is stand up and be counted. Say, here I am. What do you need done? Be a volunteer. Get involved. Join a political party. Go find somebody who's got good Christian values and go help them get elected, whoever they are. They're hard to find, but they're out there. We got one, Freddie Drennan. Mayor of our community. Great Christian man. I'd vote for him in a heartbeat because of his values. I mean, I know the man and I believe in him because of what he believes in. He may not be the best mayor, maybe smarter men or women who could do a better job, but what he's going to do, he's going to do according to the Word of God. America needs another set of brave men and women of the cut of Samuel and Abigail Adams. And if you don't know who that is, go Google it and find out. Samuel and Abigail Adams. Go read what Abigail had to say. It'll stir your heart. The gospel needs men and women of the caliber of Timothy and his mother Eunice and his grandmother Lois. You do what you can, where you can, when you can, before there is nothing that you can do. The hour is now. Let's stand. Next week, God willing, if you come back and I'm still here, we're going to preach on pursuing happiness. It'll be a little happier topic, maybe. Maybe. This maybe. You know, I don't normally preach this hard. You guys know that. But I just don't know what else to do. I don't know how else to say it. Not only for you, but those who are watching over the internet. In fact, Jim, while I'm saying this, what I'd like you to do when you cut up this stuff and you produce it, I want you to cut this sermon up and the one from last week up in short segments for each point, and I want you to put it on YouTube, on our website on YouTube, because it'll get more exposure out there. All right? I want to try to get this word out. And use the Black Robe Regiment, because people are interested in that. That's starting to come alive. People are starting to hear about it. Sadly, Most of the preachers in this town have no clue. I wrote a newspaper article this week that'll be out, and I've asked people to go ask their pastor to put on their black robe and preach the truth. We'll see how many do. I hope they cut it out and bring it. Y'all okay? You encouraged? You encouraged? Encouraged? I want you to be encouraged. This is not to beat you up. This is to pride you up. It's a big difference. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for the privilege that you've given us in Christ to speak the truth. Thank you for the privilege that we have here in America. Thank you, God, you have blessed this nation beyond our wildest imagination. Lord, I ask you to preserve America. Preserve the Americans who will preserve America. God, keep the gospel of Jesus Christ free, that we might broadcast not only the freedom of America, but we might broadcast the gospel of freedom that's been entrusted to us. Father, stir each of our hearts to do what we can, where we can, while we can. Start with me, Lord. Start with me and each one of us. Let us be like Isaiah Bowl. When he heard a challenge, he said, "Here am I, Lord, send me. Here am I, Lord, send me." Watch over us. Bless this day as only you can. And as we celebrate this week, this great July 4th celebration, we'll follow the admonition that Samuel Adams said, shoot fireworks, have a party, have a parade, let the flags fly high, and let everyone know that America is still free. This we propose to do. You give us the will and the strength, and we pray together in the name of Jesus our Lord. And everybody said, amen. Amen. You're dismissed in the name of the Lord. If you need prayer for anything, I'll be up here to pray for you.